jump out of the root. Don't give a damn, don't give a hoot. Still gotta keep making the loot. Chauffeur driven. Gotta make a quick as you can. Give a love and make you a man. Get her in the palm of your hand. Bread from heaven. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frou Frou, the talking cat.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This poem is entitled Black Emptiness. Black emptiness. Black, black emptiness. The void of the eternal sky. The empty shell of... Could you stop the music, please? Could you stop the goofy music? Thank you. Now listen, I know I'm cute and I'm cuddly and I'm a talking cat and all that, but this is serious poetry that I wrote here, so no wacky music, okay? And someone get this stupid pink bonnet off my head. All right. Black emptiness. Black, black emptiness. Stop the music! The void of the eternal sky. Ooh. The empty shell of ourselves and of others.
No, listen.
The fishy fish song was 3 years ago, for Christ's sake. No, listen! I was a kitten then. That song was fine for back then, and it was very good to me, that song. But it's time to move on and do other things, more serious things. Do you understand? So please, let's just forget about the stupid fishy fish song, okay?
Do the fishy fish song! Yeah. Do the fishy fish song!
Listen, I'll do one verse of the stupid fishy fish song, but then I do my poetry, okay? Woo. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Fishy fish, oh fishy fish, I wish I could reach inside your bowl and eat you up whole.
All right, there you go. Okay. No. Black emptiness. Black emptiness. You're a bunch of morons, you know that? Sing your own stupid fishy fish song. You don't appreciate good poetry. You just want to hear the same old crap all the time, don't you? Well, I'm walking.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frou Frou, the talking cat. Well, let's just keep the show rolling right along here. I'd like to introduce the next act. Let's have a big round of applause for Biff, the dancing dog.
What a bunch of morons. I hate them all, Sid.
Frou Frou, what are you doing? They want to hear the fishy fish song.
But you know I'm sick of the fishy fish song. I want to do my poetry.
But they don't want poetry. They want entertainment. Look at Biff. He's going over like a house on fire out there.
You know that dog is a classically trained dancer. He could be dancing with the Russian ballet now. But look at him with that stupid umbrella. He looks like an idiot.
Well, that idiot happens to own a split-level mansion in Bel Air, Frou Frou.
Yeah, maybe he does, but he doesn't have a soul.
Showbiz ain't about souls. It's not an art, it's a business.
Well, speaking of business, where's my three mice?
Only one mouse, Frou.
What do you mean, one mouse? You said three mice.
Yeah, well, times are tough, Frou Frou. Nobody wants to pay three mice for all that blackness crap anymore.
Well, you can keep your stupid mouse. Where's my bottle?
Aw, come on, Frou, you gotta lay off the booze.
Why don't you lay off? I'm getting out of here.
Frou Frou! Frou Frou, where are you going? Frou Frou, come back here! Frou Frou, you'll never work again! Frou Frou!
Oh, why, look, it's Frou Frou, the talking cat. Hello, Frou Frou.
Shut up, you old bag.
Well, I never.
3 months later, in a dingy bar in the Lower East Side.
The empty souls of mindless people and stupid people everywhere. Screw you, screw you, screw you. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frou Frou the talking cat. And now, the lovely Melinda will take off her clothes to music again, so help yourselves to another drink at the bar.
Mary, get me another scotch, will ya?
Sure thing, Frou.
Frou Frou! Frou-Frou, there you are! I've been looking all over for you.
Well, 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 if it isn't my ex-manager, what do you want from me?
Frou-Frou, the Blackness poem! It's number one on the European poetry charts. We're planning a big tour and we need you. There's a plane leaving for London in about an hour. How about it?
You're putting me on.
No way, Frou, I'm serious. You're a star again.
Here you go, Frou. A saucer of scotch, straight up.
No thanks, Mary. I won't be needing that anymore. No more booze for me. I'm gonna have a new life. Wow, I've always wanted to see Europe. This is gonna be amazing. I'm a star again.
Listen, I'll take care of your tab. You go pack and I'll meet you at the airport in about an hour, okay?
All right, Sid. I always knew I could count on you.
All right, what does he owe here?
Hey, it's on the house. He's a big star again.
Thanks, lady.
Wow, this is amazing. I'm a new cat. I knew this would happen to me one day. This is terrific. England, the land of the great poets. These are gonna be the best times of...
Frou-Frou the Cat was buried on December 12, 1951, but his memory will stay alive in our hearts forever, thanks to his immortal words.
Fishy fish, oh fishy fish, I wish, I wish, I wish I could reach inside your bowl and eat you up whole. Fishy fish, oh fishy fish, I wish, I wish, I wish I could reach inside your bowl.
So anyways, I'm booked in August in Florida and it's hot, but my family also decides they're going to have a family reunion in August. You know, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, a nice thing. But my sisters know where to go. They have to decide. And they decide Disney World is the best place to be in August. Now, they say it's the happiest place on earth. But I say nay, nay. Not in August, it's not. It's 100 degrees with 95% humidity. What are you doing it's that hot? Oh, I don't know. Let's take the big man out and walk him! Let's walk the shit out of him! Let's get him up at 6 in the morning! Kick him till he gets up! Get up! We're going on the Epcot Death March today! It's your vacation! My kidneys are failing and they're not even sweating. I'm looking around going, am I the only one that's fucking hot? Is it me? What's wrong with you people? I lose my cherub-like demeanor in that heat. You have all those characters running around like, you know, Mickey and Minnie and Chip and Dale and Goofy and, you know, they're going, who get the fuck away from me? It's too hot. Don't be hanging on me. That's right. Uncle John just knocked out Mickey. Now look for a sign that says cold beer. The first day at Disney World, I wore jeans. Oh, I was a little chafed. Oh. You could have roasted a chicken in between my thighs. I was burning up inside there. I'll tell you, thank God for that Gold Bond medicated powder. Have you used it? I had that in a holster by the end of the week. I could draw that like Wyatt Earp. And you have to wait an hour and 45 minutes for every ride, it seems. Hour and 45 minutes for a ride! I wait an hour and 45 minutes, there better be a buffet at the end of that line. They did have a good buffet at Disney World. At the Grand Floridian, oh! I walked in, I was like, when you wish upon a star, make no difference. I went to one of those character buffets, you know, where they have all the characters running around like Cinderella and Mickey and Minnie. But it was delightful then because it was air conditioned and there was a buffet. This is a vacation, I'm thinking. Well, the characters have to stay at in those costumes as long as you stay at the buffet. Well, I wasn't leaving. It's hot out there, and I haven't had my omelet yet. Well, the characters got ugly, that's all I can say. Either Chip or Dale gave me the finger. I don't know which one. Mickey walks up to me and goes, get out of here, you fat bastard. Can they talk like that? I don't think they can talk like that. I don't think that's in the Disney manual is what I'm saying.
Stand-up comic called me the other day. I saw his number and I said, oh damn. But old Dirty Freddy's helped me out in a pinch before. So under my breath I softly swore. I answered the phone and I said, hey, what's up, man? He needed out of a headlining spot at a Christmas weekend show. Could I cover for him? He'd be much obliged. I said, okay, I need the money, you know. And what's the club like? He said, oh, buddy, he'll be surprised.
Holiday Road,
flying coach again with a head full of dick jokes and dreams.
Holiday Road,
being a headliner ain't easy at sea. Fighting my way on up like the salmons against the streams.
Holiday Road,
yeah. Well, I'm touching down in Fairbanks, Washington. Nothing but a change of clothes and a couple CDs. Christmas weekend is rainy and cold. Loneliness spreading through my heart like a disease. 49 years old with two ex-wives and three kids and a half. That line always gets a laugh on the stage. It's wearing me down, going town to town to town to town. They say that I kill, but I'm just a tiger in a cage.
Holiday Road,
checking into the Super 8 so I can get high.
Holiday Road,
I'll be eating alone in a cheerless when I die.
Holiday Road,
it was living the dream, but now it feels like living the lie.
Holiday Road,
but as I'm shaving an hour before the show, I realize I'm lucky I do what I do. I'm my own boss. So I guess you could say, hey, my dream came true. People work their shitty jobs, and all they want to do is laugh and forget they're feeling blue. Come to think of it, thank God for me. I'll make people feel brand new tonight. Yeah. I get to the club and all the lights are off. And there's chains on the door. And I realize I've never heard of a club being open on Christmas before. It's all a prank by that rotten prick, Dirty Fred. And it hurts me to the core. But I gotta look on the bright side and realize there are things to life. Son of a bitch! God damn you, Dirty Fred! Damn you to hell!
Holiday,
I'll kill you!
Comics.
You people make me sick! Choke on your nachos!
Holiday Road Comics.
Three shows on a Saturday! Children! Set him on fire! Dirty Fred is dead! He's a dead man! I'm so tired! I'm so, so tired!
I can't do morning radio! I can't do it ever again! Touch that dial.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
This song goes out to Bobby, dedicated from Sue. She just wants him to know her love for him is true. Whoa. And this song goes out to Billy, dedicated.
vacation. Oh yeah.
My friends, and don't touch that dial, really. I'm serious. It's rigged. If you touch that dial, you will hear something entirely different. Okay? Don't do it. All right, tonight's show is about entertainment. Entertainment. We seek it. We try for it everywhere we go. It fills our hours. And in the beginning, of course, there was nothing. Nothing at all. And that was the Fugs up top with Nothing. From, I guess it was their first album. Anyway, I thought I'd mention that since, September 28th of 1923, Thule Kupferberg was born. That's 101 years ago today, friends. Just in case you think I'm not paying attention. All right? So after Nothing came Art. Had to do something. Art for Art's Sake was 10cc. And then the Art War was the Knack. The Knack, that was from 1981. Comes from their third album called Round Trip. Remember that one? Sure. Yeah, you forgot all about it, too. All right. Anyway, Fro Fro, the Talking Cat, was the Vestibules, because there's a downside to it all. Yes, there is. John Pinette, talking about Disney World and the buffet. Ah, yes, John. John died at age 50 from diabetes of being morbidly obese. A moment. Mike Furman, after that, the Holiday Road comic. People don't think about behind the scenes of this stuff going on. Pac-Man Fever. Remember how many of you spent your college education money in Pac-Man machines? I use the term generically. All right. Yeah, you know what I mean. Strawberry Zots after that. Everything's fun. And it is if you're doing it, you know, why not? Bowling for Soup, 1985, about the regrets and the time you spend wasting thinking about what could have been. And Freddie Boom Boom Cannon, the dedication song from Revere, Massachusetts. All right? So, this brings up a point that I have to make here at this particular juncture. As you know, entertainment is not cheap. Hence, a word from my sponsor.
Dad?
What?
Tired of all the slime and crime, sluts and butts, guns and buns your kids watch every time you rent a movie?
No.
Dad?
Oh, I sure am, Mr. Announcer.
And Mom, what? Do you want the media in your house to reflect your values and not the lurid fantasies of some faded, jaded Hollywood sybarite?
Well, I certainly do.
Well, then it's time you both became captain of your home entertainment center with Movie Masker.
Gosh.
How does it work?
Glad you asked in unison, typical American family. Our proprietary software searches the entire tape or DVD and strips off nudity, vulgarity, gratuitous violence, bestiality, whatever pulls your chain.
Oh, give me an example.
Yeah, pull her chain.
Oh, Dad.
If your kids are bugging you to see Sex and the City, don't worry. After Movie Masker gets through with it, there's nothing left but Sarah Jessica Parker doing dysfunctional lunches.
Oh.
Well, you know, even those kids' shows need cleaning up.
How about The Three Little Pigs?
Oh, I love that story.
Mom, it's satanic.
If you want to shield your children from the themes of homelessness and eating one's victims, we cut straight to the Wolfproof Brick House and it becomes The One Little Pig.
And there's a kosher Muslim version called The No Little Pigs.
And a version for disillusioned Democrats in which the wolf turns into Jimmy Carter and helps the pigs rebuild their houses.
Oh, gosh, I'm sold.
What's a Democrat?
It's Movie Masker.
Remember, what your kids can't see won't hurt you.
Ow.
A man walks into a nightclub with a beautiful girl in his arm. The show begins and the comedian comes out for his first show of the evening. The comedian says, "A man walks into a nightclub with a beautiful girl in his arm." The show begins and the comedian comes out for his second show of the evening. The show begins, and the comedian says, "A man walks into a nightclub with a beautiful girl on his arm." Just then, a man in the front row stands up and says, "I think I've heard this before." The comedian says, "Maybe you caught my first show of the evening." The man says, "No, I just walked in here." The comedian says, "Well, it was a guy who looked just like you. Walked in with a beautiful girl on his arm. Could have been your twin brother." The man says, "My twin brother is dead." The comedian says, "What is this, a wake?" The man says, "I don't have to stand for this." And he stands up, and he walks outside. And the comedian says, "Are you out there? I can hear you breathing." The man says, "I'm holding my breath." The comedian says, "Well, I'm holding your wife." Just then the man says, "That's not my wife," and he walks back into the nightclub with another beautiful girl on his arm. "Who's that lady I'm seeing you with?" the comedian says. The man says, "This is my wife. That other lady is my dead twin brother's wife. You can take her if you want her," and the comedian says, "Not unless you say please." Just then, a man walks into a nightclub with a tattoo of a beautiful girl on his arm eating elbow macaroni. The comedian says, "Is that girl from Italy?" The man says, "No, just hungry." Just then, a man walks into the nightclub. He comes riding into the nightclub on a pony with a feather stuck in his head. "What do you call that?" the comedian asks. "An entrance," the man says. "But forget that. Just give me a beer and give my pony a jockey." The bartender says, "I think that pony's had enough already." "Well, make it a short jockey," the man says. "And while you're at it, give that lady's lawyer some briefs." The lady stands up and says, "I can defend myself, Your Honor." And the lawyer says, "But I'll defend her honor, Your Honor." The judge says, "Well, honor or offer. Make up your mind." The comic says, "Definitely honor. That's the best offer I've had all day." "Well, take it or leave it," says the judge. "Couldn't we just drop it?" says the comedian. He says, "Well, you better drop leafless before you bomb." Well, the comedian says, "I'm already bombing." He says, "Maybe it's your material." He says, "You don't think it fits?" He says, "Well, it could be let out a little." The comedian says, "How much do you think it'll cost me?" He says, "It'll cost you an arm and a leg." The comic says, "Well, listen, can you put it on the cuff?" The tailor says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. Well, forget the leg and I'll just charge an arm." And a beautiful arm it is. "Okay," says the comedian, and the tailor cuts off the comedian's arm and gives him the suit. The tailor calls his girlfriend and asks her to go out in the town with him in order to celebrate. He calls on his girlfriend and gives her the beautiful arm as a gift. She wears it around her neck just like a stole, and they go out on the town. The man walks into the nightclub with a beautiful arm on his girl. The show begins, and the one-armed comedian comes out for his last show of the evening. He does his act, and the audience stands up and gives him a hand.
Saturday night and I got a frantic date. It's the only night my chick can stay out late. We're gonna wheel on out to the Sunset Strip. There's a spot out there where all the cats flip. A sax man there that wails the most. He's known as Daddy-O, coast to coast. Once he starts grooving with that crazy beat, he'll have you rocking right off your seat. Place has atmosphere like no hut has. The coffee's hot, but man, they cool the jazz. The room is dark, but we've all seen the light. This trip to Moonville is a real gone sight. you just take it slow when the music ends. If you drop to earth too fast, you get the bends. You've never been, you just haven't made the trip. So you spent a Saturday night on Sunset Strip. Baby, this is the only way to fly.
Me, 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 me. Oh, are you ready now? Yes, I'll sing into this object in front of me. "'Twas through a YMCA concert I craved a desire for the stage. In Flanders one night I was asked to recite. Gadzooks, I was quickly the rage. They said I was better than Irving and gave me some biscuits and tea. Of course, it's not union wages. Apparently, that was their usual fee. Home I came, bought this dress, appeared in your theatre, and what a success. I acted so tragic, the house rose like magic, the audience yelled, 'You're sublime!' They made me a present of Mornington Crescent. They threw it, a brick at a time. Someone threw a fender, which caught me a bender. I hoisted a white flag and tried to surrender. They jeered me, they smeared me, they nearly stoned me to death. They threw nuts and sultanas, fried eggs and bananas, the night I appeared as Macbeth. The advertised time for the play was printed at 8 on the sheet. But the hall keeper, he, having mislaid the key, we played the first act on the street. Then somebody yelled for the author. 'He's dead,' said the flute player's wife. Well, the news caused a frightful commotion and gave me the shock of me life. Shakespeare dead? Poor old Bill. Why, I never knew the poor devil was ill. I acted so tragic, the house rose like magic. They wish David Garrick could see. But he's in the Abbey. Then someone quite shabby suggested that's where I should be. Lloyd George and Clemenceau, they both had it on so. The King of the Belgians rushed in with Alfonso. They pleaded unheeded, and all of them yelled with one breath, 'There's another war coming. If you don't stop mumming, the night I appeared as Macbeth.'" Yes.
Tip on a number from the sly old fox. You can play it straight or in the box. On the Monday, it's 284. If you hit that day, you're going to play some more. On Tuesday, 825. If that comes out, good gracious alive. On Wednesday, play 486. If that falls out, then you know you're fixed. On Thursday, play 328. You better get on it, Jake, before it's too late. Write these numbers in your book and play them every day. Buy a newspaper and take a look and see what's out today. On a Friday, play 061. If that comes out, just have your fun. On a Saturday, play 369. They're off on a fall and I ain't lying. But look here, Gabe, what you know?
Oh, man, I don't know nothing. Gabe, what you know?
Oh, everything is solid.
Oh, that's killer, man.
You playing the numbers today?
I ain't able to play no numbers today, man.
What's the matter?
Well, I tell you. Hey, look here, Fox. Play a couple of gas meters.
meters on me, man. A
couple of gas meters?
Yes, that's right.
Look at here, man.
What's the matter?
I lay a deuce of flips on you. Is that a killer?
Flips? No, I'll take a couple of gas meters, man.
Gas meters?
That's right.
Well, look here, Jack. I think I can kind of straighten it because I just got my check today.
Oh, well, now, that's a killer, man.
I got my welfare check, and it's really
well. Welfare check? Well, you know, look here, I think you better cash that check right away.
I'm going to do that thing now. I'm going to cash it.
You got to get on that number, you know.
Are you ready?
I think a fool's going to lead you.
Going to lead?
Well, that's a killer. Groovy.
Just have your fun. On a Saturday, play 369. They all gonna fall and I ain't lying.
Well, if I remember right, it was on a Tuesday night in Las Vegas at a gambling cafe. I had stopped to play roulette and was just about to bet when I heard a voice from out of nowhere say,
"Play number seven. Number seven. You want to be smart? You better not wait. You better not stop and hesitate. Number seven.
Number seven wins." Well, I nearly had a fit when I saw that number hit and a lot of pretty girls rushed up to me. Then I told the croupier, "I'm continuing to play, but I can't decide what number it should be."
Play number seven. Number seven. You want to be smart? You better not wait. You better not stop and hesitate.
Well, I made enough, I'd say, not to work another day, and I only had that little voice to thank. Thought I'd take the cash and go, but the little voice said, "No, play it one more time and really break the bank." Four? What happened?
And it's time now for another visit to Garish Summit and its endless story of intrigue among the socially prominent. There in stately splendor, far removed from the squalid village below, they fight their petty battles over power and money. As our action begins, unlikable young Rodney Murchfield is still carrying out his arrangement to be held captive by Lefty Schellenbach, the town's leading kidnapper. Suddenly, Lefty spins around in the swivel chair he bought at a swap meet near the state capitol and speaks.
"I guess it's time I sent a ransom note to your mother telling her where to leave the money, Rodney. Would you hand me the scissors so I can clip the message out of these newspaper headlines?"
I'd be delighted to help, Lefty, but I can't reach the scissors. You have my arms tied to this chair with clothesline rope.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that we've tried to make this look like a real kidnapping, and not just a fake one that you dreamed up to chisel your old lady out of $9,800,000.
Well, I prefer not to think of it as low and conniving, Lefty. Besides, she seems to be falling for the trick anyway.
I hope so. But you know what, Rodney? It's really hard to make up an attractive kidnap note The kind of headline type they use in newspapers these days.
I wasn't aware there'd been a change.
Oh, yeah, I remember back in 56 when I put the snatch on the Mumford Twins. You can still find a lot of 24-point Bodoni type in the papers there. I paste it up a real attractive threat for the Mumfords, telling how I'd mail their kids home in a jar if they didn't pay up.
Yes, I recall when that note was introduced as evidence at your trial. The district attorney commented about the attractive typeface.
Exactly, exactly. Now everything's this harsh, modern junk. No nice curlicues on the letters. Now a woman of your mother's breeding is going to be pretty upset to get a note in ugly type like this.
Well, she'll be upset to get it, all right. I can picture her reaction to it now.
Well, as you might have guessed, Wilfred, my reaction to this ransom note is very negative.
Well, naturally, Miss Agatha, there's something about a sans-serif type face that seems so cold and impersonal.
Well, that's not what upsets me, you ninny. The kidnapper is demanding almost $10 million to release Rodney unharmed.
Yes, Mum. I suppose that would be a negative factor, too. And then, making matters worse, the blackguard tied the note around a rock and tossed it through the music room window.
Well, I guess the person who's already facing the gas chamber for kidnapping figures he might as well commit petty vandalism, too.
It's true, Mum. Yes. You're a keen judge of human nature. Perhaps it's your sensitivity that gives me courage to speak out on a matter that's come to my attention.
Of course. You know, I've always been concerned about your feelings. So if you have something to say, just spit it out before I send you on your way without so much as a letter of reference.
Yes, Mom. Thank you, Mom. It's about the ransom figure, $9,800,000. That's the exact amount your auditor found overdrawn from Mr. Rodney's petty cash account at the office. I wonder what the police would say if they knew that the ransom money would be just enough to get Mr. Rodney out of his tight situation.
So, why were you wondering what I'd say, Sergeant? I've been working on the Merchfield kidnapping case ever since it broke, and the figure $9,800,000 doesn't ring a bell with me.
Well, it's the amount of ransom they've asked for, Chief. By coincidence, it's also the exact amount that Rodney seems to have embezzled from Merchfield Lead Mining.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant. Outside of those things, it doesn't ring a bell with me. Does it ring a bell with you?
Maybe. Suppose Rodney knew the auditors were about to find that shortage, so he made an appointment, as we already know, to have lunch with Lefty Schellenbach on the very day he disappeared.
Funny, the name Schellenbach doesn't ring a bell either.
He kidnapped the Mumford twins 30 years ago. You solved the case.
Good. At least that's one loose end we've wrapped up.
Well, not entirely, Chief. Schellenbach's been out of the slammer for a month now, and for no good reason, he has lunch with Rodney Merchfield, who was then kidnapped and held for the exact amount of ransom he needs to avoid an embezzlement rap. You see what I'm driving at?
No, but if you get any leads, call me at the gas station. Rodney bought a new oil filter there on the day he disappeared, and I intend to find out the reason why.
Now, will the young squirt at the gas station knuckle under and tell all he knows? How did Lefty send a ransom note to Agatha clipped out of newspaper type when he couldn't reach the scissors? And why hasn't the broken glass in the music room ever been swept up? Perhaps we'll learn more next time when we hear Lefty say...
Do you spell decapitated with one K or two?
That's next time when we return again to Garish Summit.
In a plane or I'm on the street, there's a lot of friendly people that I like to meet. They shake my hand and never ask my name, and they start asking questions that are always the same. Hey, what's Michael J. Fox like? He's nice. What's Christopher Lloyd like? Kinda quiet. What's Crispin Glover like? Unusual. Stop asking me the question. I went to the bar mitzvah of my nephew Josh. Now I'm not Jewish, but I like to nosh. put on my yarmulke and started to pray. When the rabbi leaned over and I heard him say, hey, was that real manure? No, it wasn't. How was that DeLorean? A piece of garbage. Did the hoverboards really fly? It's a movie. Stop asking me the question. Can we take your picture? Come on, look mean. Will you call my friend a butthead on his answering machine? Questions, questions, just fill my head. I went to my doctor said, what does a key grip do? Set up lights. What does the best boy do? Help the key grip. What does a producer do? I don't know. Stop asking me the question. I don't think it's ever not on a TV screen. People tell me, I thought you'd be really mean. Doesn't matter if I tell them that movies are pretend. They still want me to say, what are you looking at, butthead? What are you looking at, butthead? Do you all hang out together? No, we don't. How's Crispin Glover? Never talk to him. Back to the Future 4. Never happening. Stop asking me the question. Who did you like on the set? The lunch guy who was the biggest jerk. He got fired. Back to the Future 4. Just let it go. Stop asking me the question.
In the following work, various sounds and musical themes will be used to represent the different characters and places in our story. Our heroine, Portia, will be recognized by this theme.
La, 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 la.
Our hero, a radio announcer, will be identified by... Our villain, a Hollywood agent, by... Now, Portia works in a typical California eating place known as a drive-in.
My name is Portia Clamfuddle. Of course, that's my stage name. I work as a waitress in this here drive-in, but I am really an actress. To be, oh, what is to be? That is the question. Whether 'tis better to eat a hamburger with onions or without. To smooch or not to smooch. That is the answer.
Now our hero, the radio announcer, works in a radio station.
Superstar, 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 superstar.
You see, it's a CBS station.
I am a radio announcer. I broke into radio as a disc jockey. I was the only disc jockey in the country who could ride a record side saddle. Then I got an offer to come to Hollywood. My sponsor was Dr. Cavity, the friendly credit dentist. You've heard his slogan, no down payment, no cosigners, no teeth, just gum.
One day our hero was returning from the radio station.
Superstar, superstar, like myself, I'm superstar.
And he stopped in at the drive-in. Our hero honked his horn for service. Our heroine pitter-patted to his car. She handed him a menu. He looked it over carefully and said,
darling, I have fallen in love with you. My heart is beating for you. Listen. I gotta stop eating those Kugats Nougats. Will you marry me?
Her eyelids fluttered shyly. She looked at him and said very coyly,
what's the matter? You crazy or something, hey?
No, I'm serious. Marry me and we'll settle down in my little nest in Laurel Canyon.
Oh, you got a home there?
No, a nest. I share it with two robins.
Robin? You're kidding.
No, I pay my rent by doing pre-babysitting.
Pre-babysitting?
When they go out for the night, I sit on the eggs. What do you say?
Well,
Just as she was about to give her answer, Fate took her hand.
I'm Fate.
Here, take a hand.
Into the drive-in drove the Hollywood agent. In a long, low convertible with a top that went up and down. Imperiously, he blew his horn for service. Under the hood, he had the United States Marine Band. The villain said to her,
"You have a beautiful radio voice. Come with me and I will make you a star. I will give you jewels, furs, a servant."
So she got into the long, low convertible with a top that went up and down. And was about to drive off when our hero stopped her.
"Darling, would you rather marry him and have jewels, furs, and servants? Or would you rather have me?"
To which she replied in a sad voice,
"What's the matter, kid? You flip your lid?"
And so off she drove to the radio station. And sadly, our hero, the radio announcer, went back to his tranquil way of life. In the daytime, he had his commercials.
Friends, do you suffer from lower plate wobble? Then try Dr. Cavity's miraculous new discovery, glue.
And at night, he would pre-babysit on the robin's eggs while they were out for a lark. And as he sat there, he would say to himself,
"What do I need her for? Look, I've just become a mother."
Rat.
a whimpery's ass telling me every move to make. And I'm tired of Martha Stewart's ass telling me how to bake a cake. And I've just about had my fill of Dr. fucking Phil. Tired of looking at Tiger's ass and Shaquille O'Fucking Neal. Paris Hilton could fuck up a county fair. Just proof that you can be stupid and still be a billion-fucking-aire. I'm tired of Simon's ass telling people that they can't sing. I'd fire Donald Trump's ass for knowing every fucking thing. Jim and Brad and Angelina's ass, I'm about tired of looking at them. And I'm about ready for Hollywood's ass to run out of fucking film. I'm tired of everything on TV. Everybody loves Raymond, except for fucking me. I'm tired of that Lance's ass in France riding on a bike. And I could pretty much give a damn what some actress's dress looks like. It'd be nice if hip-hop's ass would finally learn to play three chords. And I'm about fed up with Nashville's ass and the Hand Me a Trophy Award. Barry Bonds hitting a bunch of fake home runs. And a fake-ass Larry the Cable's ass. And get her fucking done. I'd like to watch football's ass without worrying about T.O. And I'm resolved to tell W's ass where the fuck he can fucking go. I'll be the first to second tell him the third world what the fuck they can fucking do. It'd be fun to watch Mel Gibson's ass get whipped by the Jews. I'm tired of my own ass singing this fucking song. There's a lot of people's ass I'm tired of, but the list's too fucking long, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And then the tapes gave way to new technology. The VHS were all replaced by DVDs. So we would never have to pay rewinding fees. But now our children will never know them.
Digital killed the video store. No one leaves home for movies no more.
The movies came to
want to tell you something. Imagine you could be all over the world. Imagine you could be whatever you want to be. Imagine you could meet whoever you want to meet. And imagine you could buy anything at every time.
But Dickie, that's not possible. How could it happen? This must be a dream.
No, this is not a dream. This can be reality.
I don't think I have to add to that at all. This is what we've got now, I guess. The internet is taking over. I know I don't watch TV anymore. I don't read anymore. Everything I do comes out of the internet, which is fine. But, at least I'm not crazy yet. Anyway, we started out up top with the National Lampoon. That was Stand Up. That was, I believe, Brian Doyle Murray doing that. Saturday night on Sunset Strip was, of course, Ed Kooky Burns. Kooky, Mr. Kooky to you. He died a few years ago. They're all dying now. You notice that? The night I appeared as Macbeth was Ian Whitcomb, who I believe is also dead. I don't know. I didn't even look it up. I should probably check just to make sure. Anyway, tip on the numbers from Slim and Slam. They're both dead. Jim Lowe, play number 7. All right, let's see. After that, an episode from Bob and Ray. Who can forget those old radio serials? That was, of course, an episode from Garish Summit. What happened? Perhaps we'll learn more someday. We heard from Tom Wilson. Tom Wilson, you probably gathered, played Biff in Back to the Future, and is apparently a really nice guy, not a villain. Okay, that's what the point of that song was about, that movies are different than real life, okay? Spike Jones and the City Slickers, Portia and the Hollywood Wolf, the old Hollywood. We heard from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, science fiction double feature. I could be wrong, was Tim Wilson, for those of you who stay home and watch daytime TV and stuff. Bob Rivers, guess what? Digital killed the video store from 2013. You think he knew something? And then Welcome to the Internet. That was Fractus. So the only thing left to do is just maybe grab a book or, I don't know, magazine or something like that. Do we have any magazines we all love from our childhood?
How do you do? The purpose of this recording is to introduce you to the staff of Mad Magazine, so you can hear how each of them sounds in real life. First, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Albert B. Feldstein, and I am the editor of Mad. It's my job. My name is Albert B. Feldstein, and I am the editor of Mad. It's my job to... I am the editor of Mad, and it's my job. Well, what's so funny about that? Anyway, here's John Putnam and Jerry DeFuscia, Hollywood, Bob Clark, Gloria Orlando, Frank Jacobs, Don Martin, Leonard Brenner, Joe Orlando, David Berg, Celia Morelli, Frank Kelly Freeze, George Woodbridge, Mark Drucker, Al Jaffe. And here's the publisher, William Gaines.
Insinuating, it's sweeping the country. Wherever there's a newsstand, you'll find Con Fidgety and Joe.
Hey, read all about it. Don't finger the pages, lady. Did you just want to buy that Con Fidgety and Joe?
Please don't shout.
Or I is just sneaking a peek.
I don't read that sort of stuff.
Ah, that's what they all say. 20 million of them. You just want it or don't you?
Well, I'll hate myself in the morning, but give me one.
Here you are, lady.
Please, don't hand it to me. Slip it in my bag when no one's looking.
And now, the editorial office of Confidential Magazine.
Confidential Magazine, all the news not fit to print. Mr. Worm, sorry, he's in a staff meeting. Confidential Magazine.
Yeah, well, you know, there's
no way to get...
Oh, you ever tapped the phone?
Oh, it was cold. I've done it.
Oh, the transom, you know.
Oh, the
hiding under the rug. Gentlemen, our chief, Mr. Worm.
Don't get up. Stay on your knees. Boys, you're not cutting the mustard. You've been getting soft. The celebrities aren't squirming. They're not fidgeting.
Hear, hear.
In our next issue... I want you to be really mean, really vulgar, really vicious.
Yay, Worm!
Now, who have we got on the rack this month?
I got a doozy, boss. This guy's successful, married,
and got kids.
They're the ones I want to break. The clean livers.
Hear, hear.
He's ripe. Let's pick him. Pick, pick, pick.
You like it, boss? You like it?
We go back 25 years. Till he was 9, he lived with his parents in a small house. Then they moved to a big house. He was there 10 years.
What a headline! 10 years in the big house!
You like it, boss? You like it?
And then for 30 years, he was in love with a married woman.
We'll cross him!
But it was his wife.
Who cares about details? We won't mention that.
In 1952,
he did? But aren't there witnesses who can? There are? This is what I want. It's mean. It's vicious. Who is it?
It's you, boss.
You like it, boss? You like it? I guess he didn't like it.
They wouldn't print it if it wasn't true.